Travis, everybody. We're so glad you've decided to worship with us. Would you stand? Unfortunately, I can't stand tonight, but I will be worshiping Jesus. Let's sing together. Come, let us worship King, our King.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great.
So glad that you decided to worship with us tonight. I want to call us to worship with a passage out of John 8. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said to them, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I don't know where everybody's at in this room, but I know for me, I could use a little light in mine sometimes. And by sometimes, I mean right now. So Jesus, we come before you today, and we invite you into this place. We invite you into our hearts and into our spirits. God, and would you bring with you the light of life? Would you be the candle that pushes away the darkness?
sing this together. Come thou fount of every blessing.
Oh, come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Well, teach me some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, Mount of God's unfailing love.
Here I raise,
and here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood.
Sing this out, joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. In heaven and nature sing, in heaven and nature sing.
Repeat the sound in joy.
I'll say the first part, if you'll say the second. Wherever you call, wherever you lead, whatever the cost, Christ before me, Christ behind me, and Christ beside me. Amen. You can have a seat.
Well, good evening, Kairos. It is so good to be able to worship with you tonight. My name is Lindsay Jacoby, if we haven't gotten the chance to meet yet. Get to serve on our discipleship staff here at Kairos. And we're so grateful to gather again in the season of Advent. We are going to continue in worship by reading our text for tonight. We're going to be in the Gospel of John. So feel free to follow along in your copy of God's Word, or it'll also be behind me on the screens. And as you find your place there, I'll invite you to go with me to the Lord in prayer. Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear clearly. Jesus, would you go before us in our text and make a way? And together we say, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Again, our text comes from the Gospel of John. I'll begin reading in chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. I'll say the word of the Lord, if you'll say thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Jacoby. I'll say bless the Lord if you guys will say, oh, my soul, bless the Lord. Bless his holy name. Feliz Navidad, people. What's up? Happy Advent. It's Christmas. It's coming. Hoorah. I don't know. Anyway, I'm excited. I love Christmas services at church. I love when we get to just pull it back, have a place where we remind ourselves the story of Jesus. And thanks to these two guys, man, that was awesome. Joy to the World, that reprise was incredible. Singing that hymn growing up, there's that line we sang three times that said, "Let heaven and nature sing." By the way, Boggs and Caleb, that should be your new duo nickname, Heaven and Nature Sing. You can figure out which one's heaven and which one's nature. But that was delightful. I love singing Christmas songs. I love being reminded of the incarnation. And for those of you who didn't grow up with this word like me, Advent is a Latin word that simply means the coming. So we're celebrating the first coming of Christ. But as Christians, we're also longing for and anticipating the return of Christ, his second coming. So that's all the joy and the sorrow, the darkness and the light, all the hope and disappointment that's all mixed up into the Christmas season where we can fully embrace the mystery of Christ. Now, the text that Jacoby read was John's poetic way of talking about the light of the world. And what's really fun in that text is there's kind of echoes from the creation narrative. Let there be light, and there was light. The light that gives life to all men was coming into the world, so God is recreating through his Son. It's so good. If you go down just a little bit further, and I recommend that you do, it's a lot of fun to read. It says that we have seen the glory of the one and only, begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that's the combustible engine of the gospel, right? Full of grace and truth. There's fire there. There's heat there. There's light there. There's energy there when grace and truth meet in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, speaking of combustible, I'm married. I've been married for 20 years. Fire! Okay. That laugh that you hear, that's my wife. Let's just get it over. It's awkward. So just wave. Say hi, Audrey. Okay. She's not great. I need you to submit. No? Okay, great. Well, you and the Lord can deal with that later. You would think after 20 years, like, the fire is slowly dying, right? Wrong. Even after minivans, kids, lap dogs, and even some cats thrown in there that I didn't fully approve of, it's still fire. She is originally a Southerner. I'm originally a Northerner. Fire. She's a female. I'm a male. Fire, all right? She is incredibly neat and efficient and organized, and I am messy. I mean, creative. Fire. She's an extrovert. I'm someone who loves Jesus and only a couple other people. Fire. And then every year we have this wonderful tradition where we get into an old familiar argument, where it's just fun to see who can poke the bear. Now, it is an incredible, and some of you guys, if you ever wanna have future partners, you may wanna solve this in premarital counseling. It'll save you a lot of grief and energy, but so learn from my mistakes. This is an incredible theological, foundational, seasonal issue that reveals your values in the deepest part of your soul. And it is quite simply, do you want colored Christmas lights or white Christmas lights on your Christmas tree? And people are usually not like, eh, whatever. It's usually whatever you grew up with, you think that's the gospel truth. And so every year I roll out this well-rounded theological argument. And, you know, I've got advanced degrees and I communicate for a living. And I think I have the power of persuasion. And I wax on like how all the different colorful lights express the hues and emotions of the seasons that can't be captured in monochromatic whiteness. And how God's glory is going to be revealed through all colors and all peoples and all nations. And we should just practice heaven here here on earth with colored Christmas lights on our tree. And I mean, I could go on and on, and she smiles and she nods and she's like, oh, that's a good one. She'll even amen me a couple spots. And then after, she's like, are you finished? I said, yeah, I think so. And then she refutes this argument every year with two words: you're tacky. And so we have white lights on our Christmas tree. I want colored lights and tinsel. She wants something we can put in Southern Living magazine. Oh, well. Outside, we outlined the house in white lights. This year, Audrey did make a concession. Do you want to raise your hand? Show everyone who you are.
The upstairs tree has color.
Fair enough. Thank you. The one that no one sees. And this year, we actually, Hobby Lobby had 50% off lights, so we got red lights on the outside to cover the bushes, so we at least have some color. And she did give me a row of colored lights to put on the back of the house where no one can see them. So we're making progress in our marriage and in our ministry. It's awesome. So after all that, we rehearse all that. That's one of our favorite Christmas traditions. Then comes another marriage stressor, which is we go back up to the attic and break out said Christmas lights. Now, if you guys followed us during shelter in place and COVID, that's the attic where we were broadcasting Kairos from. Go back in the dark corner and you pull out this tangled barbed wire mess of all of your Christmas lights that you said you would put back neatly last year and never did. It's like this Clark W. Griswold moment where you pull that thing out, and then all of a sudden I start to have a little bit of a mental meltdown because I despise knots. I despise the Rubik's Cube puzzle that thing is. I've told my kids, please wear Velcro shoes until you graduate high school because I just don't want to deal with knots. Like, it's okay. Like, you, first semester as a freshman, they can teach you how to tie your shoes. We'll figure it out. We start to pull it out, and for any of you guys who have ever hung up Christmas lights, you know what happens next, right? You get all the knots out, and then you plug it in, and what happens? Some of them work, some of them don't work. And then if you have one of those ones where if one bulb's loose or it's out, the whole string is out. And you think you have like 50 strands and you wind up with 10 and you're trying to make a run to the store at the last minute because the Christmas tree doesn't have enough white lights. Why do I tell you all that? Because in the metaphor that John provided us in his gospel, and I would also say it's literally true, Jesus is the light of the world. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Jesus' light not only shines on us this season, but it shines through us. The problem a lot of us are facing in this room, I believe, is we're still knotted and tangled up on the inside. And that there's a lot of shadows of darkness all around us and in us. Some of you guys are facing a holiday season, and this will be the first time without a family member there. And that's dark, and that's difficult, and that's sad. Some of you have found yourself knotted up and tangled up in consistent sin and temptation, feeling like it's a stronghold that you're never going to get victory over. You've begun to believe the lies of the enemy about who you are, and you're having a hard time feeling the light of Christ shine in that darkness, and especially through you. And there's some of us who, I don't know how it happened this year, but some of our key relationships seem to have gotten out of socket. Like it just kind of pulled out or it broke and we haven't repaired it or we haven't reconciled it. And here's what we know is that when one of those is off, the rest of our relationships are off, aren't they? I was reading Acts chapter 8 in my quiet times earlier this week, and this really random, weird, awesome text about the Samaritans hearing the gospel message and Philip converting some of them, and then Peter goes and shows up to pray for him to get the Holy Spirit. There's this dude named Simon the Magician, who used to be a sorcerer, but then he converted to Christianity. It was awesome. They pray to give him the Holy Spirit, and he's like, sweet, how much do I owe you so I can pay so I can give this to other people? And Peter's like, wrong, fool, repent. That's a loose translation, right? He's like, man, I hope you bet all your silver and gold will perish with you. He goes straight high challenge on this guy because Jesus did the same thing with Peter. And then there's this one line where he says, you have the bile of bitterness and you are in bondage to iniquity. The bile of bitterness. Literally, there's toxic bitterness in your life that's sabotaging your heart and soul. That's why the Bible says, especially for those of us as believers, don't let any root of bitterness form among you. That's what happens. It starts to affect how we feel the light of Christ and how we express it to other people. But here's the good news of the gospel that I want to remind you about this morning. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So we have an Advent tradition here at Kairos that I started last week. And it is, we're going to read a portion from the Jesus Storybook Bible every time we get together in December. So this one is The Light of the Whole World. You're welcome. I hope my fingers weren't in front of any of it. I'm still working on it. I still can't do this elementary school thing where your teachers, they deserve like a $10,000 increase just for being able to read sideways. That's amazing. The light of the whole world. That same night, amongst all the other stars, suddenly a bright new one appeared. Of all the stars in the dark vaulted heavens, this one shone clearer. It blazed in the night and it made the other stars look pale beside it. God put it there when his baby son was born to be like a spotlight, shining on him, lighting up the darkness, showing people the way to him. You see, God was like a new daddy. He couldn't keep the good news to himself. He had been waiting all these long years for this moment. And now, he wanted to tell everyone. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Now, when John is using that language there in chapter 1, the darkness will not overcome it, he's making this profound theological statement while he's also being poetic in the process. What he's saying is, hey, there's no power or princes on planet Earth. There's no kings or kingdoms in this universe. There is no rulers or religions that have been or whatever will be. Snuff out the light that is Jesus Christ, and it has come to planet Earth, and it has changed everything. And I love that bold, emphatic, empowering statement that the darkness will not overcome it. But do you know another translation of that verse that you'll find? Jesus is the light of the world, and the darkness has not understood it. Later he would say, Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him or recognize him or understand that he was the Messiah. Light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Isn't that true for you and for me too? There's some darkness that I think we're experiencing, I know I'm experiencing, with my family, my friends, with death and disease and concerns and cares, and I don't understand it. I know that the light of Christ is shining in it. I believe the light of Christ is shining through me. But there's some stuff I just don't understand how it's all going to work out. I have doubts. I have despair at moments. I'm still trusting the Lord, but I'm also trusting him with the shadows and the things that I don't understand. So here's a gift that I'm giving myself for this Christmas, and I'd like you to consider giving it to yourself as well. I'm giving myself the gift of not having it all figured out. I'm giving myself the gift of not fully understanding how every single thing is going to work out. I'm giving my gift of saying, I don't understand how it's finally going to be completed. Well, actually, that's not true. I do know that Jesus is coming again, and every sad thing will become untrue, and that we will no longer need the sun because he himself will be the light. And in Revelation, it says we're going to be so close to him that we get to see his reflection in our forehead. But in the meantime, we wait. And we hope, and we ask the Lord to make sure that our faith can bear the weight of the waiting. I don't know about your life. I don't know what you're walking through right now, but I do know that Jesus Christ is coming again, and you need to be ready for it, and it'll be worth the wait. Because there's plenty of things I still don't understand, and I can actually worship in the midst of not understanding them. I honestly don't understand how Jesus knows every single thing about me, every thought I've ever had, and still loves me. I don't understand how God would sacrifice his sinless son for you and for me. I don't understand how that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, if we follow Christ, lives in you and me, and we still can't get along in the church. I don't understand those things. But I don't have to understand them to worship in the middle of them, even in the waiting and the unfulfilled promises from my perspective. But as we sang before, all of God's promises find their yes in Jesus Christ. Their yes and their amen. This is what we're reminded of in the Advent season. Light shines in the darkness. But the darkness will not overcome it, even when it doesn't understand it. And even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Men and women, I don't need to quote scripture to you all night. I have to quote it to myself a lot so that I can have my faith encouraged and my resolve strengthened. But I do know this. Boy, Jesus showing up on the scene, I bet was worth the wait. All the hopes and dreams of the Jewish people for a Messiah and a deliverer, when he comes again for us, it'll be worth the wait. And besides, we've gotten a glimpse of that glory, haven't we? We get to get up close and personal and see how he came and how he acted, how he loved, how he died, how he was risen again. I wonder if that won't encourage you and I tonight. There was a season that I don't talk about a lot publicly about 2 years ago that I was in a really, really dark place. It was right about this time of year. And it was dark because I had to go to the Cool Springs Galleria during this time of year, and I hate it. This was pre-COVID, right? This is when it feels like 90% of Nashville descends on 3 square miles, and it is gridlock traffic. It don't matter. If you sniff getting anywhere near that, you're in trouble. Like, even if you go, oops, this was a mistake, you're not getting out for 45 minutes. That's the kind of stuff that is deep, deep darkness for me. So let me put this in perspective. My son had a birthday party he was going to. It's at the same time as Christmas. We're trying to get a last minute gift. My wife has asked me to spiritually lead for my family by going out and doing this. I abhor it, but I do it anyway so that she'll still love me. And so we get out and we hit the Bermuda Triangle, wherever you want to talk about. There it goes. Like, I can already see all the brake lights piling up. So we cruise in. I'm not going anywhere near that mall, okay? But I am going to Academy Sports, which is right on the other side of it, just as bad. Hit the parking lot, and you can just feel the forces of darkness. Like, it's constricting on my chest. There's no parking space everywhere. You can feel all the cars tentatively trying to find them. People are rushing back and forth and in. I can feel internally like Iron Man's suit is coming up on me. Dum, 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 dum. High anxiety. I look at my son. I'm like, we're going to war. Let's go, okay? So I'm all amped up, tensed up. We're gonna get in there. As soon as I walk through the doors, all of my worst nightmares are confirmed. 18 cash registers opened up, 20 people deep. All right, like, they're backed up like into the basketball shorts. Like, you can't even get around them. Like, I gotta go through the women's section just to get to where I'm supposed to go, which is just always embarrassing when you're doing that as a dad with a son. So we weave our way back. We get to the sporting goods section. I know the gift that we're looking for the kid whose birthday party we're about to go to. And then all of a sudden, my son and I look at the same item on the same shelf at the same time. Then we look at each other, and within 2 seconds, we have a Within 2 seconds, we have a telepathic conversation where we agree upon something. What we happen to look at the same time is the very gift that he's asked for Christmas from mom and dad. It's a BB rifle, one of those ones that's like a break barrel that you pull it down like this to cock it, you put it back up. It's got this cool like sniper scope or whatever. So just boom, boom, like hide your pets and your young kids type Christmas present. It's what he's asked for. So we both lock on it. What he doesn't know that I know is that Audrey's asked me to take care of that one present out of like the 99 that she's taking care of. And what he also doesn't know is that I haven't done anything about it. And in this moment, I think he reads my eyes, I read his eyes, and I look at him and I said, "You better act surprised on Christmas morning and pick up the box and here we go." It was a strategic tactical decision. I improvised, overcame, I adapt, and then we hit purgatory, which was the checkout line. I blocked most of it out. I may take some EMDR therapy classes to figure out what actually happened in line, but we finally get out of the parking lot in Dante's Inferno and make it out to where traffic's just a little bit less congested. And we're in the Jeep, he's in the front seat, and he's sitting on this side of me, and I can just feel him doing this. My Scooter, that's Simon's nickname. Scooter, what are you doing? He's like, "Dad, I'll be real honest. It's gonna be hard to wait now that I've seen it." I said, "I get that, son. But I promise you this. It'll be worth the wait. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, begotten of God, full of grace and truth. Church, he's coming again. And I know it's hard. And I know it's difficult in the waiting. But let me remind you, it'll be worth the wait." Amen? So we want to preach the Bible clearly and give your soul some space to respond. I'll ask Jacoby to come up and just walk us through a guided prayer that helps you start a conversation with the Lord that hopefully doesn't end here. We'll have Boggs and Caleb will lead us in worship in just a minute, but this is the moment that we bring you here for, to hear the gospel and then to be able to respond to Emmanuel, who is God with us. Let's listen together.
As we tune our hearts and our ears and our minds to hear the voice of our Good Shepherd, a couple questions maybe to guide your thoughts and your prayers in this time. What are you waiting for? This has been a year of loss and grief and confusion and disappointment and unexpectedness from the start. We've all experienced that at different levels, and we're probably all waiting for something. Something to pan out like we wanted. A job to come through. Reconciliation to happen. Whatever that may be, you might be feeling the weight of the waiting. And in light of that, where do you need the light of Christ to shine? Right in your face. Where do you feel like the darkness is starting to overtake a little bit more and a little bit more every day, and you need even a spark? He is the light of the world, and the darkness cannot overcome him. So let's take a minute, let's listen in, and ask him to be the light that only he can be and to provide what only he can. Let's listen in together. Thank you.
Let's sing this together.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a love that is saved. touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Oh. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Sing that again, Waymaker. Oh, you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. What's up?
Than to attack the character of God in us. That we believe him to be good. That we believe that he's in all circumstances. Our enemy doesn't want us to believe that. And it's in those moments that we need to declare it the most. We need to declare that even though we don't understand it, even though we don't get it all the time, we believe that he's working in the scenes, behind the scenes, and behind everything that we see, behind every fear, every anxiety. He is in the background working. Can we declare that in faith today? That even when we can't feel it or can't see it, He's working a way. Can we sing that together?
Even when I can't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop, You never stop working. You never stop, You never stop working.
Declare it.
Even when I can't see it, You're working. Even when I can't feel it, You're working. You never stop, You never stop working. You never stop.
Come on, sing it again.
Even when I can't see it, You're working, God. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop, You never stop working. You never stop.
God, we declare tonight, we say that You are good, that You are a good Father, that You are a good God, that You are present. We declare that we know that You want what's best for us, even though we don't understand. We say in simple faith that that is who You are. I need to sing that again. That's who You are.
That is who You are. That is who You are. That is who You are. That is who You are.
Sing it until you believe it.
It's who You are. That is who You are.
Come on, sing.
That is who You are. That is who You are.
One more time.
That is who You are. God, it's who You are. That is who You are. That is who You are.
Amen.
Kairos, if you're comfortable, would you put your hands out in a posture of receiving? I would love to speak a prayer of blessing over us before we go. So may the light of Christ shine on you, right here, right now, even in the midst of darkness, doubt, and despair. May the light of Christ shine on you so you remember that the darkness has not overcome you. And may the light of Christ shine on you even in the waiting, because He is coming again, and I promise you it will be worth the wait. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Again, thanks so much for being with us tonight. A few things before we sing the doxology together. If the Lord is stirring in you or something is just too heavy and you just want somebody to pray for you, we would love to do that. There are faithful men and women right across the hall who would love to listen and pray with you. If you feel led to give, there are giving stations on the way out. And then if you feel like you've been sitting in the darkness too long and you're ready to take the first step of finding the light of Christ, we would love to help you do that in the context of community. So the best way that we can do that is for you to text Kairos to 623-623. That's the easiest way. We'd also love to connect with you in person. If you want to walk out those doors to the Next Steps booth, we would love to find a group or a place for you to feel connected and pulled out of the darkness in this season. We're so grateful to be with you. Next week is going to be our last Kairos of 2020, so we look forward to gathering with you then. Let's join together and sing the doxology now.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Go in grace and peace to love and serve the Lord.